Good to be here again with y'all. What I talk about this morning briefly is that, one of the great qualities that we've received as a result of the new nature of Christ in us is the ability to remain at peace. And I think Shelley just said something about that in the manifestations. It's always interwoven. You know, through many of the things we share, through many of the things we talk about. But, you know, what's really kind of miraculous that we even have the ability to be peaceful at all. Because there is so much uproar and so many things going on around us. If you haven't noticed, it's like there's a lot going on out there. It's a kind of a hectic world. I call it a hostile environment that we live in. But peace is a welcoming oasis that draws our attention and draws our interest. The churning and spurning of life spits out overworked and burned out products, of which Christian people join the ranks. Peace, by definition, is the absence or the end of strife and denotes a state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being characterized by the freedom from anxiety and overwhelming care. Does this sound like a dream? No, this is really the true thing that God offers us throughout His Word, both in a doctrinal sense where it says that Jesus Christ is our peace, He made peace, He opened the door for us to have a relationship with God, as well as in other sections of God's Word where it talks about that we can be free from anxious care and that as we give these things to God, that we would be peaceful. But it's characterized by the freedom from anxiety and overwhelming care. You know what? It's not a melancholy attitude of I don't care. Or it's not also que sera, sera. You know what that means translated? What will be, will be. That's an old Doris Day line, if not the name of a movie. Que sera, sera, what will be, no big deal. It just, you know, whatever's going to happen, happens. Huh. But it's not that. It's not this melancholy attitude. But, you know, it's really the confident rest and the inner solitude that results from the knowledge and understanding that peace is really part of the inheritance that we've received at the time that we got born again. You know, getting born again of God's Spirit is a lot more than just being saved from hell. That's only just the beginning is the salvation, really, which is really the wholeness, which is really the reception of Holy Spirit. As you begin to really understand the concepts of heaven and hell, you find that getting saved or having salvation is a lot bigger than some of the maybe the religious overtones that sometimes are associated with it. I want to look this morning in Psalm 23, which is familiar to some of us. I want to focus especially on verse 2. I've entitled this teaching Green Pastures. Verse 2 of Psalm 23, let's start in verse 1, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Did you know that when grass reaches the stage where it turns the richest and most wonderful color of green is when the new season of spring is at its fullest? Green pastures are much more than just a pretty place. It's a place for nourishment. It's a place where we get recharged. It's a place where we can receive from God. You know, when we think of green pastures, you think of maybe a place of comfort. You know, Maybe in your mind, you know, you hear people say that they like to go to that happy place. What do you envision in your mind when you think of peace, when you think of comfort, when you think of something that just brings certain qualities of rest and love and good vibes or whatever? What is that that you think of? Is it a place filled with tranquility? A place where peace is found? You know, when you think of green pastures, maybe you would think of a place that's refreshing, a place that's alive, a place of restoration, a place of rejuvenation, a place for solitude, and maybe a place that's designated just for you. You know, you see these pictures of beautiful waterfalls and like a winding path that's kind of leading back to these beautiful places of solitude. You know, in your mind, in your heart, you're just like, oh, God, I wish I was just there right now. You know, or you see the beaches of Maui. You see the beauty of a Greek city, something built into a, you know, a hillside. You watch the wedding party walk up the hill in Mamma Mia, you know, and you think, you know what, that is really cool. I just love that. I mean, you identify that in these certain feelings are just, they evoke certain things in you. And that's what things do to us, because we associate and we have certain feelings that are associated with certain ideals or certain pictures or certain things that we just gravitate towards. You know, maybe when you think of green pastures, if you haven't in the past, maybe you just ought to think of about a place where you can really relax. You know, so many of us are so good at doing so many things, but the one thing that we fail to really get good at is learning how to relax. My hands just somehow automatically begins to go up because we are just doers, you know, and if we're not doing, then we feel like we ought to be doing. See, we almost become feeling guilty if we aren't doing anything, so to speak. We're just like recharging, rejuvenating. You know what? That's okay. It's okay. Because we want to find that place where we can really find rest for our souls. You know what? We need it. Actually, a place where there is no pressure that can overrun your life. Oh, I feel better even just talking about it. You know, maybe a place where there are no interruptions. My God, you actually left your cell phone at home. Or maybe you turned it off. Or you won't have to answer a text during this meeting. Or hear it vibrating in your pocket, you know. Maybe, hopefully it's off. Otherwise, we'll hear it. But there's no ringing phones, no televisions that are blaring. There's no fussing. There's no pushing. There's no going out for a meal and you got to wait in line with 40 other people, try to eat. You know what? Green pastures are a place for refreshment, for spiritual refreshment. That's what this is talking about in Psalm 23. God's our shepherd. He's guiding us and directing our hearts to that point where we can be spiritually nourished and spiritually refreshed. You know what? Across the globe, across the world, across San Diego today, there are so many people who are burned out. They're worn out, they're tuckered out, and they're beat up from the inside out. You know what? Many people are exhausted before they even start their day. They wake up and they're like, oh, I am so tired. They haven't even gotten out of bed yet. You know, but they get out, they will put one foot out of the bed, right? And then the other one, and pretty soon you kind of get in the groove where, you know what? Honestly, don't tell anybody, but you would have rather stayed in bed. You know? Did you know that in the year 1910, the average person slept 9 hours a day? And today, most average around 6 to 7 hours a day. Not too long ago, the average person invested in daily breaks, vacation, reduced work schedules, and finding that special place in order to be refreshed. You may think that it's not a big deal, but upon further review, you may change your mind. Did you know that today we consume 30 tons of aspirin and sleeping pills a day? We have more pain ads for headaches, backaches, migraines, insomnia, and ulcers than we have ever seen before in the history of mankind. Many people are on a vicious cycle that consists of some of these aids every day. And I'm not saying if you take something like that, you're sinning. I'm just bringing up a point. You know, that's sort of a tragedy in our culture, the way that we've sort of just become workaholics. And we've not allowed ourselves to really relax and just slow down and settle down. And, you know, a few weeks ago, I talked about the secret place, right? And then I followed that up with a teaching called a place of rest, you know? And we're still striving to get to those places, you know? We could hear that teaching every week for the next 52 weeks, you know? Because it is so important to get there. And if you've ever been there for a very short, brief period of time, no longer how long it's been, you know that. But you know what? Right now's the time to begin that renewal of getting to the green pasture. Because God is leading us in that direction. To get to the green pasture, and then know what he says? Lie down. Lie down there. Just don't, you know, get there and, now you got to work, you know, to get there. You know, they're a fresh place for the soul that God designed. It's a place for your life sustenance. That's what sheep are in that green pasture for. They're just loving it. See? And it's not even something that they produced. It's a place for stability. It's a place for strength. It's a place for developing wholeness and soundness. It is a place where God wants you to lie down. That's what we're talking about here. Well, you know what? If you're lying down, generally, you're resting. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus made this statement. We'll look at it. I know we're not reading a lot of scripture verses right at the moment, but I think most of you in this room have probably read many, many, many scripture verses. But I wanted to share something this morning I think that for your life and for my life is really important for us to know and to really learn and to grab a hold of. Matthew 11, 28. Oh my gosh, there it is. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Oh man, those words could be 10 feet tall and 10 feet long and 10 feet wide. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find, there it is again, rest to your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden's light. But sometimes, so many of us, we miss the fact that rest for our souls is nourishment for us. Because we feel like working and doing will bring that, when in reality it robs us of that. It takes it away. You know, perhaps that's why God stressed in the Old Testament that we rest on the Sabbath day. He knows the nature of people, right? That they will just work. And then when they're given time off, you know what they want to do? Work. Maybe you've heard this before. I don't think anybody would ever have an epitaph written on their gravestone, "I never had enough time to work." You know, most of us are trying to avoid that. I'm not saying work is not a godly thing. Obviously, we know it is. But what about balance in life? See, somehow we seem to have sort of, you know, oh yeah, it's really something. You know, Jesus Christ even said in Matthew chapter 2, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, God, you know what God was saying? The day of rest was created for mankind. God's smarter than we are. He knows. Now, you know, we understand a little bit more about the Word and, you know, spiritual laws and, you know, that sort of thing where we achieve the balance. But the question I guess we really need to ask ourselves is, are we finding our green pasture experience? Are we going to that place where we find that rest, that nourishment, that encouragement, that time of rest and relaxation? You know, the psalmist David, he didn't leave these wonderful words of Psalm 23 just to be read over and over and over again by people in future generations. Oh, that's a nice verse. Wow. God made us to lie down in green pastures. And then we'll just quote that, you know, at different times, funeral services, whatever. No. The purpose of God's word is that God wants these things to be experientially understood for us in our lives. That it is for us to lie down in green pastures. Well, where do you find them? How are you going to find a green pasture? Start driving out towards Julian and, you know, oh, there's one. Get out of the car, climb over a barbed wire fence and hope nobody sees you. Oh, yeah, you know, the answer really is in the presence of God. That is the inner quest of the heart of man, because every man, I really truly believe, is God hungry. And we will not be satisfied spiritually until we really get in to the presence of God. You know what? When you're in the presence of God, it's a place where you take a break from everything. Because God sees you. He knows you. You know, it's like no fooling God. It's really a place where one seeks isolation in order to gain a spiritual connection. And in that case, you know what? Isolation is not a bad thing. You don't always have to be entertained. You don't always have to be in a conversation. You know what? Actually, at times, it's good to be for you to be alone. To kind of just sort your thinking out a little bit and you know, just regroup. Be alone. Talk to God. And then you'll be in a really a great position for Him to be able to talk to you, and you'll be in a really great position to hear. Really awesome. It's a place of prayer. It's a place of meditation. It's a place of worship, confirmation. It's a place where you receive information from God, revelation. It's a place where we are accessible. We are reachable. We are coachable. In an environment with God Almighty. That is the most important relationship we're in. I mean, I love you guys. I love my wife. I love my son. I love the people I fellowship with, people in my fellowship, all that stuff. But you know what? Number one priority is my relationship with God. And if that's going downhill and that's not really being, you know, developed, then spiritually, I'm on the losing end. You know, I'm trying to do things in the flesh then, which means I'm trying to do it in my own strength. Because what the grace of God really is God's ability working in you to accomplish that which God wants to get accomplished. And if I'm trying to do it in my own strength, I can guarantee you it's a burnout. Guarantee you. So maybe you've never experience this, what I'm talking about. Well, you know what? You can start today. you know how you're going to do that? You're going to get alone with God, and you're going to have a conversation with God, and you're going to pour your heart out to God. Because that's really what God wants. He wants you to come to Him seeking that rest in your soul. That's a great starting place right there. You know what I mean? Great knowledge of God's Word, wonderful thing to have, you know. Ultimately, all that that brings to us is to enhance our ability to have a relationship with God. That's what it's all about here in this Christian life. Knowledge so that we can have a deeper, more intimate, and fuller relationship with God. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. You know what? I really believe this is something worth fighting for in our lives. I'm a person, just like you. I've got to fight for it. I've got to try to carve out the time in my life with all the things that I do to, what's the word? Continue to develop the relationship with God. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. One thing have I desired of God, to be in His presence continually. That is one of the remarkable things about the walk of Jesus Christ. Because He was connected. And He stayed connected. He didn't let other things get in the way of Him being connected. There was no bad connection. He didn't lose reception. See? He stayed connected all the time. And man, when he needed to hear from God or God needed to show him something at any given moment, they were connected. They were together. Psalm chapter 16. Psalm 16. Psalm 16. We've handled this verse many times before. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Well, you know what? For us as Christian men and women, we need to know what the path of life is for each one of us individually. I don't know what it is for you. You know, we have what the directives of God's Word say. But it's such a personal and individualized curriculum, you know, that helps you along the path of life. But we do know for sure that in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. And joy is a happy place. It's a good thing, see. And so it really moves us in our heart to want to really have that kind of intimate relationship with God, because that's the very thing God wants to have with us. That's one of the reasons He's called us. That's one of the reasons He's placed His Spirit within us, is so that we can have a relationship with Him. So, you know, one of the great qualities that we've received as a result of the new birth of Christ in us is the ability to remain at peace. Or for that matter, to have any peace at all. It's a hectic world. It's a hostile environment, right? So peace is a welcoming oasis. Ah, it's like walking through the Sahara Desert and you see the palm trees and you see the water and it's not a mirage, you know? And you're actually approaching that. We don't want to be overworked, burned out products of a world that is designed to do exactly that. But it's going to require us exercising our will to crawl up into daddy's arms, if you will, to access that oasis. We want to have that confident rest, that inner solitude that results from the knowledge and from the understanding that peace is part of the package that we've received at the time of the new birth. In Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me. He leadeth me right into an environment where I can lie down. I can relax and rest no matter what's going on." See? But we got to stay connected for that to really be a practical, living reality day by day. So I encourage you today, don't wait. Start today. Start now to embrace what's just so readily available to you at any given time. And I think it will really be beneficial for you. It'll be beneficial for me. It will help us to grow in our intimacy and in our ability to really hear from God. And therefore, like Katie shared last week, obey what God has to say. We've got to put ourselves in an environment to listen and then obey what God tells us at that point. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful Word of God. Thank you for the rest in our hearts, Father, and how miraculously you have brought us to this point. We can learn some of these simple, basic truths, God. I mean, it's hard to even imagine we would say that after so many years, many of us being in the Word, but yet it does come back down to the basics of understanding what you've opened the door for us to have by way of Jesus Christ. And I thank you that today can be a new start, Father, just to embrace the relationship and to see a great growth in our intimacy with you. And that the byproduct of us knowing anything about you and your word is that we would just manifest and be fruitful in our lives, Father, with the nature that you've placed within us. And I thank you, God, for a successful, a wonderful, a satisfying, relaxing day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, God bless you guys.